I'd like to welcome all of us here this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and pray that our only desire tonight would be to come to learn and to profit from the teachings that He has left to guide our lives. Let's use hymn number 327. 327 as the opening song. Can you? Possible, will you kneel with me for an open prayer? Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy name. As we, a group of Thy children, have come together, we do so solely in Thy name, and solely with the desire to praise and to honor Thy holy name. Praying, Heavenly Father, thanks unto Thee for Thy Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us, that we might have hope and have joy, and brought truth, that we might have a path and direction. We pray thanks unto Thee, God, for that holy comforting Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, that we might reach out to others with a testimony of light and love and joy. And God, we thank You for You, for we know that truly we have You to turn to, that Thou art our King and kings and our Master of all, that through Thy Son, Jesus Christ, we have the hope of light and understanding. And we pray that this night, as we would gather together in Thy name this evening, that our brother's tongue would be loosed and his mind would be open, that he would be totally committed unto Thee to do and to speak and to commit even that is Your will and Your desire. Let him truly give faith and hope and basis for the testimony that he has that lies within him, that testimony that would lead other men unto Thee. God, we feel the pleasure that we are afforded this privilege to come together this night, that our brother has made the effort to prepare a sermon to present the gospel message to Thy children. And we pray that each of us have made an effort to prepare, that we might take in all that light that You would have for us. There we pray that not only our brother would give himself unto Thee, but we also would submit willingly to learn and to profit from this time that we would spend together. We pray that as we will go from here, we will be uplifted and fed abundantly, for we will know that our Savior has once again made available to His children the plan of salvation, the hope of redemption, and the opportunity of true, loving, sweet forgiveness. Heavenly Father, there are many who are sick and afflicted, and many names that have been mentioned, not only here, but in other locales as well. We have heard, Heavenly Father, for the cries of Thy children, asking for the intervening power spiritually, that the cancer that is affording itself and drawing itself into the body of Christ would be driven out, and that our desire would be used as instruments in Thy hands. But also, Heavenly Father, for the physical sickness and the mental sickness. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are seeking a need and an understanding, that they would be fed and lifted closer to Thee, and they would find the light. We would pray, Heavenly Father, as quickly for those that have sought and found, and for whatever reason, have turned and walked away. We ask in Jesus Christ's name that some opportunity would be afforded them, some need, some opportunity would be opened up, that they would return to the body of Christ and would once again find that joy in that home. God, we pray for those of our loved ones that we have cherished for many years and upon many occasions have shared the gospel message. And we know that it burns within their hearts. We would ask that they would make their commitment, that they would open up and receive even the teachings that you would have for them. We continue to pray thanks unto Thee, Heavenly Father, for bringing our loved ones here, for the opportunity we have to share the gospel with one another and to join in conversation and in testimony. But also we would ask if there are others that continue to come, that they too would be blessed abundantly. They would be protected from harm and danger and brought safely to us. And that each and every one of us, and those that are yet to come, may come willingly bringing the talent that you have bestowed upon us, and that we would be anxious to put those talents to work for Thee. Oh God, we learned abundantly from our brother this afternoon, and we thank Thee that he presented Thy word over this pulpit. We ask now that you would give our brother even that same strength and courage, that he might stand here as a witness of Thee, and that he would joy and announce from all the joys of heaven that his Savior lives and walks with him daily. Be with us now throughout this service. Take from us the thoughts, the prejudice, the preconceived notions, and give us the peaceful assurance that Thou art ever with us. Thank you again for this local. Thank you for the host of this reunion. And pray that we all would be abundantly fed because of their efforts as well. We pray this prayer and seek Thy intervening power. In the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
To continue our service with hymn 364. 364. And again, when you found your places, would you rise? 364.
Oh,
And now we're to be blessed with a special. Joel and I was reminiscing here. It was 10 years ago in this reunion that he and I both were called originally. Joel was spoken to in the calling, I remember, and told to work with the children of God. And at that time, I think it was young people, wasn't it? At that time, I always thought that it meant the young people. But the more I've learn the responsibilities that we have as children of God. I hope we're all young people. And Joe will always work with us. They'll always be God's servants to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, the other thing we were reminiscing about was one time Joel and I were down here in the congregation, and Joel's dad was up here preaching and trying to make a very strong point. Dick Wheaton was assisting him. And if you remember, Joel's dad went over and choked Dick Wheaton, and I asked him not to do that this time. He said, "You never can tell what a Yates will do." So we don't know. A lot of time and a lot of positive memories have come from the Colorado reunion. And I'm sure that if we seek our Heavenly Father's support and strength for Joel tonight, as he stands here to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that mantle that he took on some 10 years ago at this reunion can shine for our Savior's purpose. So I offer our brother, Elder Joel Yates, and ask for him your prayers, your smiles, and certainly your love.
Thank you, Bob. I want everybody to make sure that I speak loud enough, and if I don't, just tip your hand up back there and I'll speak louder. You know, since 10 years ago, I felt unworthy then, and every time I get up, I have to talk to a bunch of people, I feel a little helpless. I told the Lord some time ago that if I was going to stand up and just speak my own words, I'd rather just sit down. Let somebody else do the talking. Somebody that would do his bidding. I came over here. We came in yesterday evening, and I kind of wondered about the schedule of this reunion. I didn't know I was preaching. Bob and I were discussing it. Said, "Well, maybe Marvin has a schedule." And he comes out and says, "Yeah, you'll be preaching Friday night, and you'll be preaching Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening." And I was kind of glad I asked. But you know, I always come somewhat prepared. Somewhat prepared because of my past experience. You can never tell when you're going to be asked to speak, when you're going to be asked to take charge. Found Brother Leslie today saying that he had the easy job. He didn't have to worry about others taking the scriptures. And as I sat there and listened to him this afternoon, you know, I kept looking at my wife and say, "He just did that to me. And he did it to me twice. But you know, I'm glad. Because every time I see that, I'm made aware that the Lord moves upon the hearts of men. And he gives them a message. And I've been set through many reunions, and they had a message that shone through that reunion. I want to talk to you tonight. And you know, my manner is kind of frank. I don't, some ways I'm like my dad, and some ways I'm not. I don't like to beat around the bush about the gospel of Christ. There's things that I see, and there's things that I feel, and there's things that I know that the Lord has told me. And I'm usually pretty frank about telling them to others. But I don't want you to be offended. I want you to hear what I have to say. And I want you to know that it's not me that's saying it, but that I'm going to read it to you out of the scriptures. And it's the Lord that I desire tonight to have your prayers, that I could represent Him in His voice. I want to start reading tonight on page 310 in your Book of Mormons. It's in the second book of Alma. Or it's in Alma chapter 2. There we go. I want to read tonight, starting in verse 8. It says, "And it came to pass in the eighth year of the reign of the judges that the people of the church began to wax proud because of their exceeding riches and their fine silks and their fine twined linen, and because of their many flocks and herds and their gold and their silver and all manner of precious things which they had obtained by their industry. And in all these things were they lifted up in the pride of their eyes, for they began to wear very costly apparel. Now this was a cause of much affliction to Alma, yea, and to many of the people which Alma had consecrated to be teachers and priests and elders over the church. Yea, many of them did sorely grieve for the wickedness which they saw had begun to be among their people. For they saw and beheld with great sorrow that the people of the church began to be lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and to set their hearts upon riches and upon the vain things of the world." You know, as I read that scripture, have to admit, there have been times that I've grieved for some of the people of the Church of Christ. And I see some of them seeking after the vain things of the world. You know, I speak tonight knowing full well there are some that would have been here to this reunion, but they chose a different path. They chose something that was a vain thing of this world. And so I see it yet in the church today. And what are the vain things of the world? You know, Solomon, you know, in all of his wisdom, he says everything is vanity. You know, all these things that we seek after in the world, they're vanity. Yes, and this can be a part of the church today. That they begin to be scornful one towards another and begin to persecute those that did not believe according to their own will and pleasure. And thus in the 8th year of the reign of Judges there began to be great contentions among the people of the church. Yea, there were envyings and strifes and malice and persecutions and pride, even to exceed the pride of those who did not belong to the church of God. And thus ended the 8th year of the reign of Judges, and the wickedness of the church was a great stumbling block to those who did not belong to the church. And thus the church began to fail in its progress. You know, if we find ourselves as a church partaking in these things we just read about, we're going to find that the church is going to fail in its progress. It can't go on and it can't go forth and it can't hold up a light to this world. And it came to pass in the commencement of the 9th year, Alma seeing the wickedness of the church, and seeing also that the example of the church began to lead those who were unbelievers on from one piece of iniquity to another, thus bringing on the destruction of the people. We need to be careful in our example to this world. Because it is possible that those of us that are members of the church could lead others that aren't astray. And I'll give you examples. I'll give you examples about our commitment. And I'm going to read some scriptures about our commitment tonight. Though it might be in a different vein than... I want to read in Revelations, the 19th chapter. I want to cite to you tonight some of these things we need to be concerned about today. Some of these ways where those of us that are members of the church could be destructive to those that aren't. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, starting in verse 5, he says, "And a great voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, ye all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready." I want to stop right there. You know, this is looking into the future. Talking about the marriage of the Lamb. I want to talk to you tonight about His wife and about what she has to do to make herself ready for the bridegroom. You know, I'm going to go next weekend. I'm going to be in Independence. I'm going to be in Independence, and I'm going to perform a wedding ceremony for two young people. And so maybe it's fitting that tonight I talk to you about our covenant, our marriage covenant, the church with Christ. I want to read to you the same thing I read to them as I set them down and explained to them the things that were expected the Lord of them as they were married. I'm going to read in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, and I want to read to you what is expected of us, those of us that are members of Christ's church, as we ourselves have become the bride of Christ. And he says in the 22nd verse, he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. See how he brings the church right in there. What's he talking about? We're going to read it just a little bit further down. He's talking to you and I, members of his church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. We're subject to Christ. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. What does he do for his church? He cherishes it. He nourishes it. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You know, I heard a sermon once, and it might have even been here, about this relationship that we have. You know, I've had to ponder it many times, that you and I, when we entered in the waters of baptism, we took upon us to become part of the body of Christ, his bride. That's the one that Revelation said was his wife. And I think about the things that are required to have a happy marriage. I think about our commitment. I think about our attendance to the meetings. And I want to talk a little bit about that to you. You know, when I read that scripture there in the Book of Mormon about how some of the members of the church had led those that weren't members. And I see right here in the Church of Christ, you know, and this has been a horrible burden on my heart. You know, I see us, I heard Leslie today, and he talked about the example, the salt of the earth, that you and I, the Scriptures say, are the salt of the earth. I think about us. Think about our services. I see when I go, and not just in, you know, this is in Phoenix, and almost every other place I've been, I've seen this very same thing here in North America. I've seen this very same thing. Sunday morning, the congregation piles in, and there's quite a number of them. Where are they Sunday night? I don't know. Wednesday night? A few. Sometimes as little as five, when there might be 20 in the congregation. Sometimes when there's 100, and there's five sitting out there on Wednesday night. You know, as we read this, I have to liken that to something. In Exodus, remember what the Lord told his people. He says, don't have any other gods before me. He says, because I, the Lord, am a jealous God. You know, when I was engaged to Jennifer, I spent every moment with her I could. I talked to her on the phone long distance, but when I had the opportunity to spend it with her, I spent it with her. And so here we are, you know, we have that phone conversation, our prayers with the Lord. But where are we when we have an opportunity to spend time with them? You know, I travel a lot now. You know, I miss my wife. But the thing that makes me happy is my wife misses me. Sometimes I think the Lord cries out after his people, where are you when I'm here? We say we're a light to this world. There's a small candle here. There's a candle in Phoenix. And there's several of them in Missouri. And there's some in New York. And the people of this world, they see this light. And they come in. And what do they see when they come Wednesday night? It's barely lit. And where are we, brothers and sisters, if we aren't in church? Many of us are out in the world, partaking of the things of the world, And God is a jealous God. Just like I would be if my wife was out running around with others on me. And this is the kind of relationship we have with the Lord. This is the kind of relationship we married or we covenanted with Him. You know, I fully intend when Jeff and Michelle come before the altar on the 20th of June that when they make their vow is that they will keep themselves for each other and from all others. You know, we hear I've seen quite a few marriages. Most people don't say from all others. Keep yourselves for each other. Maybe that's something that's peculiar with the Church of Christ, because we believe that you need to keep yourself from all others. And it goes with our marriage covenant with the Lord, that we keep ourselves, those of the church, that we keep ourselves from all others for Him. And I have, you know, I've stated one reason. You know, I see our young people here. Members of our church are mothers and fathers. And they don't go to the services. And their children thereby don't go either. And so we begin to wonder, you know, and some of the ministry get together and we scratch our heads and say, why is this such? Why aren't there more young people in our congregation? Well, it's pretty easy when you see the parents aren't there. And how can the parents expect that their children will be there as they grow, when they themselves haven't taken part? How wonderful that scripture to me is, where He says, you know, where two or three of you are gathered together in My name, there I will be in the midst of you. You know, I believe that. There's something I've seen, and I felt it's been a lack, maybe in some of our churches. I see sometimes, and again, you know, I feel I have to be honest when I see things and I perceive things. Sometimes we don't come joyfully. Maybe that's something I saw. You know, we have a lot to learn from our brothers and sisters in Mexico, and vice versa. There's things they have to learn from us. And one of those things I learned is that it's a joyful experience. That I come with joy to the church. That it's something that I've ached for and looked forward to all week long. And you know what? On Wednesday night when they have their service, most of the time, there's more of them there on a smaller congregation than there is in the services in many places here in the United States. And that's sad to me. It's sad because of what Brother Leslie read today. And I'm going to read it to you because it's important. It's on page 646. This is one of those things that I shook my head when he read it, because I had these very same feelings as I came on this trip. On page 646, it's the 7th chapter of 3rd Nephi. And he says in the 34th verse, "And thus commanded the Father that I should say unto you at that day, when the Gentiles shall sin against My gospel, and shall reject the fullness of My gospel, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations, and above all the people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lyings and deceits and of mischiefs, and all manner of hypocrisy and murders and priestcrafts and whoredoms and of secret abominations. And if they shall do all these things, and shall reject the fullness of My gospel, behold, thus saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of My gospel from among them. And then will I remember My covenant which I have made unto My people, O house of Israel, and I will bring My gospel unto them. And I will show unto thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles shall not have power over you. But I will remember My covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and ye shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of My gospel. But if the Gentiles repent and return unto Me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among My people, O house of Israel." And sometimes I sorrow because I fear that some of us, that I believe this scripture and Gentiles talks about, I fear that we're not taking the gospel seriously. I fear that it's not a part of our lives as it should be, and that our marriage covenant with the Lord is on the rocks. That there's problems there. And I guarantee you the problem is ours. It's not His. And I fear that some of us, if we aren't careful, will find ourselves not being part and sinning against the gospel. And we won't be numbered with His people. I want to read in the 5th chapter of Daniel. I want to read a few scriptures that tell me that the church have some things we need to think about. And I want to bring these things to you tonight. And why? No, I don't want to jump all over you. That's not why I'm here. I didn't come here to condemn anybody. I came here rejoicing, wanting to be a part of you, wanting to find some way we might be more faithful to our covenant with the Lord. In Daniel, in the 5th chapter, if you remember the beginning, and I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read just a couple of verses. In the beginning, there was a king named Belshazzar. He was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And he was lifted up in pride after the Lord. He had seen what the Lord had done to his father. If we read in the 22nd verse, this is what Daniel is telling him, that the Lord told him, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, and hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this." And the things that he knew is that the Lord had taken his father and he made him like a beast of the field for some time until he understood that the Lord rules in the heavens and that he rules in the affairs of men. And he sets up kingdoms and takes down kingdoms. But his son, and until he was humbled before the Lord because he thought he was powerful. And yet his son didn't learn from that lesson. He says, "But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the Lord in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hath thou not glorified." Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And if you remember the story, he and his servants and his wives were eating, and he saw the hand, the finger of the Lord, and it wrote these words. And I'm going to read the 26th and the 27th verse. He said, "This is the interpretation of the thing. Meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." You know, that word wanting, I thought about it many times. I kept thinking, you know, what were they talking about? The word that they use there, the Hebrew word that they use there, is different from all the other words that say wanting in the Bible, because it meant deficient. He was found deficient. And sometimes, as we're going to read on in a couple more places, we find that even in our day, that the bride of Christ has some deficiencies. And you and I, you know, need to be awake, need to be aware, and need to know where our feet are standing. And we don't need to be found wanting if we were weighed in the balance this day. I want to read in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. 22nd chapter of Matthew, there's a parable. I'm going to start in the first verse. It says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. You know, I've read this many times. I think it's an important message for you and I. Many are called, but few are chosen. I think about these folks that were bidden. Sometimes we have an idea, you know, that because we're members of the Church of Christ, we're going to be bidden to the marriage supper. But if we aren't prepared, we're going to be like those that decided not to go. I think of Elijah, how that for some time he felt like he was the only prophet in Israel that was doing right, and you know, and that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. And the Lord told him, you know, he said, I've reserved 10,000 that won't bow the knee. I hope we don't do like the Jews did and say, you know, we're the seed of Abraham, we're the Church of Christ. Because the Lord says he could raise up out of the stones those that will be the seed of Abraham. And so likewise, you and I better know that if we don't come prepared and dressed in the proper garments before the Lord, that we aren't going to be part of that. I have a simple little question for Bob and Jennifer. What do you think Michelle would say if I laid this out the morning of the wedding and said, that's what I'm wearing? You think she'd allow it? I guarantee you, she'd probably kick me out quicker than quick. You and I can't do any less. When we come before the Lord, we better have on the proper garments. I want to read again in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Another parable that deals with you and I. In the first verse, he says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know, he's given us these things as a warning. And he's looked at our day. And he's looked at the Church of Christ. And he's looked at his people. And he's forewarning us that we better be ready. He's also forewarning us that there are going to be some that won't be. That's what I'm concerned with, brothers and sisters. That you that are under the sound of my voice aren't one of those that won't be ready. That oil, that Spirit of God, might be burning brightly within you. The 18th chapter of Revelation. I want to go over there and read 5 verses. I want to read about what we need to do, what the Lord has directed us to do. He says here in the 18th chapter, starting in verse 1, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, in the hold of every foul spirit, in the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And he tells us further on what he's going to do. But I want to talk to you about what he's asking us to do. This Babylon he's talking about is the world. And all you have to do is look around in the world today and you see the very things that he said. It's become the habitation of devils. I think of this world. You know, I speak tonight to myself because I've seen a lack. There's been times when I've seen my light not burning so brightly before those that I would work with. And the Lord's chastised me. And I thank Him for it. We live in a world that is out to get us. It's there on every hand. And it's important that you and I know what we're up against. Not only that, but know what the Lord's told us we have to do. We can't be part of this world and be in His bride. It won't happen. Because the Lord's bride is chaste. It has a singleness, just like a wife and a husband. But there isn't anybody else. The world isn't a part of their life. And yet we find in the day that we live how hard these things are to draw out of the world. And that's why, again, we have some of these problems. There was a man that preached some time ago, and he did a little thing about what it would take to exit from Babylon, from the world. What it would take us, you and I, the Church of Christ, you and I, believers in the gospel, to come away. And I'm going to read some of the things he says because he gets right down to it. He says, first off, you better recognize that the Lord had said, he told Joseph Smith, don't join the other churches. Unlike many that believe today, it doesn't make a difference what church you belong to. The scriptures tell us different. If we're going to come out of the world, we have to see the Lord's church. We have to see the example he set up in the scriptures, and we have to follow after it. He says, if the choice is ours, then refuse to break the Christian Sabbath, which is the Lord's Day or Sunday, by indulgence in labors and activities which will not produce rest to the body and mind, nor be acceptable as the worship of God. Do not thine own pleasure on His holy day. That's found in Isaiah the 58th chapter, verses 13 and 14. I think this is another important thing. And again, it's as I said, the scriptures tell us when His people meet, He's going to be with them. We've been admonished that we give time to the Lord. That is important. Not just Sunday morning, and it doesn't stop in the afternoon, I don't think it's too much to ask to give Him a day. A day of our time. Why? I just used to love to be one day with my wife now. Because I had to mix and mingle in a hard world. And it was something to me that was refreshing. Something I look forward to. We ourselves have to look forward to meeting, taking this day. We've chosen to meet on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. I think it's important. If we're going to come out of the world, that's the day we need to do it. Especially, and those friends here, they need to see the light in this community. They need to see the light in Phoenix. That God's people are meeting. And, you can read in the 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And he starts telling about the things you'd find in the world today. And one of one of the things he said, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And that's what we have found. And I see it in the world. And when we go on a missionary trip up to see some of our people on Sunday, and you see hundreds and hundreds of people pulling boats and pulling motorcycles into the mountains and all these things to partake of what kind of pleasures? No, not pleasures of God. They're following after something that we're not to be a part of. And so it ought to be refreshing for us. We need to come. Sometimes I think maybe our reasons for coming aren't quite right. I've seen some that come with the right reasons. They have burdens. They come to have those burdens removed. They don't just come to socialize. They come because they have a need. They come in affliction. Why? Because the Lord is the one that can see those afflictions. And He knows how to bless. We need to think about our reasons for coming. And if we have these reasons that are good and proper, we need to nurture them till when we come, it is a joy for us. Another thing is, do not engage in social activities or pleasures of any sort which is matters of personal preference and frequent occurrence, separate us from the body of Christ and breaks the bond of fellowship and service to each other. And this again is speaking, you know, of our relationship to each other. I do have not only am I bound to the Lord, not only, but I'm also bound to you. And I also have a responsibility to come here to bring strength for you, and you to bring strength for me. And it's what, you know, it's what a body thrives on, just like, you know, our regular body. If I cut the finger off, I'm going to hurt. And when we choose as a part of the body not to be with the rest of the body, we ourselves have broken that bond of fellowship. Shun association on a personal basis with those who have little or no moral direction in their lives, as judged by the gospel of Christ, except as it may assist them to come up higher. And again, you know, we talked about this in Sunday school in Phoenix about our responsibility to the world, our relationship with those in the world. You know, we cannot partake of activities where there are things involved there that we can't agree with. The Lord says, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote the words of the Lord when he said, you know, he said, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And he also said, you know, you stay away from these things of the world. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He's told us these things. This is part of this way to come out of the world, to come out of Babylon. That we ourselves have got to take more of a rein on ourselves. You know, when I was back at conference this year, I had an experience. And I felt that the Lord told me that I needed to be a spiritual leader in my family. You know, I've been a minister for almost 10 years now. And yet sometimes I've seen where the Lord was right. I haven't been a spiritual leader, where I've allowed things in my family that they aren't acceptable to the Lord. They've taken away our time from Christian endeavor and my time with others, the things that we do. If we're asked to attend a party and we know there's drinking involved, we're not to go. We've got to be an example and a light. And I had to tell a partner of mine, you know, he and I were pretty close, and he was having a birthday, and he says, I want you to come to the party. Are you going to have a keg there and be serving all kinds of beverages? Well, yeah. Well, I can't come. And you know, at first he didn't understand me, but I had to explain to him, you know, these are my beliefs. These things aren't part of what I want to be associated with because of how I believe and the things I feel are important to me that the Lord would require of me. And he knew I was a minister, you know, and he said, well, I respect the fact that you told me that. And you know, some of the other guys at my station, they got after me, and they get after me quite often. But it's important that these things, we have a higher standard, that we are the salt. That if somebody is looking for the gospel, and they see that light, they see a difference. And again, like Leslie said today, you know, I believe, and I've seen it so many times, that you earn respect from people, and they begin to respect how you feel, even though they might not agree with you. And so we have an opportunity to come out of the world by watching who we associate with and the things that we do and those that we associate with on a regular basis ought to be those that if they are in the world, that you have an opportunity to help them come up higher. And I've seen many examples of that. That you yourself won't be brought down to their level, but you can help them come up out of the world. Because many people don't know these things I speak of. There isn't anything wrong in this world today with living with somebody. It's accepted. There's nothing wrong with doing all kinds of things that we don't agree with because of what the gospel tells us. But people need to know it. And we have an opportunity to show our light. Refuse to watch or permit our children to watch suggestive programming of sex on the TV and movies. Programs of loose moral and marital standards. Programs which foster use of alcohol and drugs as acceptable stimulants. Programs devoted to violence and bloodshed, even in so-called cartoons. In a word, being quite restricted in the viewing of the TV, etc., many today are not sensitive to loose standards. Many of our, and I see it in our young people, and I am a lot the same way. I've seen it in my own life, that I've seen things that haven't been offensive to me that should. You know, I was watching it at the fire station one evening. I was watching this show, and it was a karate show. And as I sat down and I started watching it, there came a scripture to my mind in the book of Psalms. It was about a gentle man, a peaceful man. And I realized that the Lord was telling me, listen, these things, you know, they aren't acceptable. These things aren't what you ought to be feasting your eyes on in your mind and your heart, because they aren't part of the gospel of Christ. These violence and bloodshed and all these other things. And my wife and I sat down and we've seen programs that looked innocent enough, and then you got into what they were trying to tell you, and it was horrible. It was horribly loose moral standards. And if we're going to come out of the world, we need to watch the things that we do, the things that we watch and the things that we read. Restriction in literature or music which is immoral or suggestive towards sex, drugs, or the gratification of other carnal desires. And these things are all over in the world. And if you don't think your kids get exposed to them, you better look real closely at what goes on. Because these things are there, and I guarantee you they're exposed. Another point, the fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That's found in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, verses 3 through 6. It's important that we don't accept these things, and that we ourselves aren't guilty of a spiritual fornication. That we ourselves are mindful of our covenant to the Lord. Let fighting by physical or mental force or by the tongue as means of conquest be put away. We need to think about the things that we do. These contentions that sometimes could be found among us. Another way is financially try to get ourselves out of debt and make sure that we don't trust in the world. Leslie read today about the Lord taking care of His people. He took care of the lilies of the field and He took care of the birds, and He's going to take care of us. We can't place our trust on the things of this world. And these are some of the ways that are specific that we need to work on to come out of Babylon, to come out of this world. And be separate. And you know, I've seen examples, and I know others of you have known. There are great things in this world today. Plagues. There's plagues in this world today that I don't want to have any part of. And yet there's a certain lifestyle that promotes it. And just because we're members of the Church of Christ, we aren't exempt. And it's already been found in our midst that we need to come out of the world or we're going to be numbered with her plagues. It's a reality, brothers and sisters. I want to go now to 1 John, the second chapter, quickly. And I want to read two verses there. This is just the things I've been saying. He says in the 15th verse, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, I've seen horrible things in this world. in my job. I know Bob has. I've seen people that got involved in this world, young people. And there's all these glitters and these promises, just like the scriptures say, you know, Satan puts these things in front of your eyes, and they look wonderful. He says, and he's just got you around the neck with a flaxen cord until he binds you in his chains. And I've seen people in this world that are bound by chains. And I've seen the end of the works of the world, and there's no happiness in it. There's none. I've had people cry on my shoulder, knowing that they'd die there in this condition of their life because they didn't have the strength to overcome. And it destroyed them. Don't love the things of this world. There's nothing good there. There's a scripture in the Book of Mormon that says that wickedness was never happiness. And in the lifestyles of this world, you're not going to find, brothers and sisters, where there's happiness. You're not going to find fulfillment. I want to read a couple more scriptures in Revelations. It's the Lord's word to the churches. And I believe He is talking to us today. In the second chapter of Revelation, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church in Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. We could find ourselves in this condition, brothers and sisters, that the Lord, talking to the church today, I believe He has just cause to say in many cases, He has something against us, because we've left our first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I think of the Church of Christ. I think of the locals of the Church of Christ, those candlesticks. You know, I sure hate to see one of them even snuffed. One of those candlesticks taken out of the way because its people have forgotten their first love. It's something that's easy in this world today. And we need to go back and remember those first works He asked us, He mentioned there, and repent. Look in our lives, you know, as I've had to do many times, and I know you have. We've got to look at our lives. What else does He say here? In the third chapter, in the seventh verse, third chapter of Revelation, it says, And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. And I hope He can say these things to us, even though we are of little strength. And I had an experience when I was down in Mexico that showed me how weak we are. Yet in our weakness, He told me, He requires that we give Him our best. In our weakest moments, He requires of us strength. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, if He doesn't keep us in that hour, I fear that we will be lost. We don't pray for His strength in that hour of temptation, and it's upon us. You can see it in the world around us, and you can see what it's done to many of our loved ones. It's a hard day that we live in, and yet we ourselves better pray. We better be on our knees. You know, there's another place in the Old Testament, you know. And he said, you know, that his ministry, we're going to weep and pray to the Lord for deliverance. And we need to pray for the Lord that he'd give deliverance to his people in these hard days. What else does he say here? Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and the white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. I hope you have an ear, and I hope you hear what he said. So many times I see in my life that I'm lukewarm in areas of my life. And I know each of us, if we sit down and we, you know, there's a place in the Bible that says, if a man would judge himself, he wouldn't be judged. We have need to sit down and judge ourselves, to look at our lives, to look at where our commitment lies. Most of all, to know what our commitment is. To know what the covenant we made. And when we come, you know, we come and we partake of the emblems. And every time we do, we hear the same words. And they're so important because they tell us about our commitment. That we'll keep His commandments. That we'll remember Him. Hopefully we remember Him enough to try to find time to meet with Him. Hopefully we remember Him enough to look at our lives and where there's other things in our life. Things that would make us fornicators to our covenant with the Lord, as in the world. That we'd find those things put away, and those other loves and lusts of our heart that are there that aren't those of God, that they could be put away so that we might have a view of Him that's pure. A desire toward Him that's pure. You know, Leslie read in the 13th chapter of St. Luke, in the 34th verse, And the Lord told Jerusalem, He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft have I gathered you? As a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. He says, and ye would not. I hope He doesn't say that about you and me. I hope He doesn't come here next year and find that we've wandered off. His brood has wandered off. That we don't hear Him say that about the Church of Christ. How oft would I have gathered you, but you would not? No, I hope that we've come renewed and renewing our covenant daily and strengthening ourselves so that we could be a pure, chaste bride. Those of you that are married, reminisce with me for a minute. You know, when I was married, I was standing up front and I saw my wife-to-be come around the corner. How beautiful and pure, clean, white. How much love I had for her. That was the way I wanted her to be. That's the way she was. And even so, the Lord looks at His church and He wants to see her coming to Him, pure and chaste and white. Not running after other people. but saving herself only for him. And even so, that's where we are in the church today. We're right there in Revelations where he said, and his wife hath made herself ready. That's what we need to be doing. And that's what I've tried to tell you about tonight. That we can make ourselves ready. There's a scripture, and I'm not going to read it because of the time. But many of you remember it, and it's in the third chapter of 1 Nephi. And when he talks about the two churches, he said one was the church of the Lamb of God, and the other was the church of the devil. And he said, you know, he said that church of the devil, he said, her dominions were great among all peoples. And he said, you know what? So was the church of the Lamb of God among all people, though her dominions were small. And then he saw that the people of God were armed with righteousness, with the power of God and great glory. It's going to happen. You know, I hope and pray to God that I'm faithful and that I'm true. I like what Leslie said today. He said, you know, God is true to His promises. We must be true. How many times I hear that word true, and I think in my heart, I want to be true. Of everything I want to do in this world, I want to be true to the calling that the Lord called me out of this world. I want to go back and read in the 19th chapter of Revelation and close. And he says here again, and I'm going to read just a little further. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Thank you for your time.
As we prepare to sing the last song of the day, and go to our private areas to rest, it might be a good thought as we come tomorrow to consider who is and what is the church. Let's use hymn number 34 as our closing song. And as we prepare to sing that tomorrow morning, Saturday morning at 9 a.m., we'll have prayer and testimony service here. Any other announcements? Let's use hymn number 34 as our closing song. As you found your places, shall we rise?
Lessons may from sin be turned. close in prayer.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that you have pricked the heart of this thy son and thy servant, and pray that each of us will take seriously the counsel that we have received as our brothers have stood behind this pulpit this day. May we earnestly seek to determine what is that bride that you will return to, and in what actual application must the purity be in each of our lives, that we in no way would be disrespectful or in conflict with thy blessed word. God, we thank you for the opportunity that is yet before us. We thank thee for the plan of salvation, of the opportunity of repentance. And we would ask collectively that truly, as we would plead with thee to place a benediction upon this day, that we would ask that you would place a benediction upon our sins and our shortcomings, our weaknesses and our inadequacies. If in any way we have caused another to stumble, or if in any way we've been unkind or untrue to that covenant, we pray you'll forgive us and help us to awake refreshed and renewed and committed unto serving and honoring thee. Lord, let us make a preparation to come tomorrow enthused and excited of the opportunity to come together with those of like faith and mutual desires. Let us come with a prayer and a yearning and a praise in our hearts. Let us come with a testimony burning in our bosoms that we might share. Let us come with a positive desire to uplift one another and hear the blessed voice of our Savior speak. As importantly, Lord, we do pray earnestly that you would help each of us to make a special preparation to come Sunday morning to partake of the emblems of the broken body and the spilt blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to come forward with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Help us to come forth and partake joyously of the emblems representing the broken body and the spilt blood of our Savior, our Mediator, and our Guide, even the Spirit of Truth as we would seek it. We again ask you to place a benediction upon this service this evening, upon the days, the efforts, the love, and the joy we've experienced, but pray it would be a benediction to rest and to grow and to further walk with thee. Be with our loved ones, those that are not present with us. Be with those special, special occasions that our brother spoke of this day that comes before us in a week. But most importantly, pray that that young couple will take to heart the counsel our brother's given. And let them start their steps with thee this day and always. And O God, may we praise thee and give honor and glory unto thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.